City's favourite, KC 107.7.
Welcome back to another exciting edition of the Midweek Connection on KC 107.7. You are listening to Connor Robertson. Today we have our special guest, Keith Engel, CEO of the South African Institute of Taxation, to discuss once again the budget speech. How are you doing today, Keith?
I'm good. It's an interesting world we live in. There's chaos in South Africa. There's chaos in the United States, and it seems to spread all over the world. So let's ride roller coaster ride. That's all I can say.
So speaking about roller coaster rides, let's get right into it. What is your initial thoughts on the 2025 national budget speech, and how do you feel it addressed the current economic challenges of South Africa?
Well, I think what you see is really a muted version of what you had in February. So the ANC can't change direction. It just can't. Its party won't allow them. It's not about the Minister of Finance, nor about the SARS. It's really about the party is committed to one way of doing things. And so what you saw was they cut $30 billion off their expenditure, I guess, and they kind of hit it. So on the social expenditure side, they wanted to go full hog. And so they pull back, and there's the special grant. They're just extending it by 1 year like they do before, but it doesn't mean we're killing it. And, you know, you still got the issue of the court saying that it's got to be expanded. So they're kind of pushing that number under the carpet. And then the rest is sort of the same old with a different emphasis. So, again, you know, they're saying, well, we're doing these things, we're doing infrastructure, and we're going to do a review on inefficiencies, but there's no real change in direction, and you see they don't have their heart in it. And then they're pushing to get their VAT increase to just get the basics done. And the question, it's obvious that the GNU is not going along, so they're going it alone. So it's, you know, they're going to just try to chance it here. It's very, very difficult. But there is no major change in direction. And that's really where our problem is. We don't have a growth budget. He talked about it. He tried to emphasize it. But the ANC is just not committed to growth. It's committed to patronage and redistribution.
So I wanted to touch on taxation and revenue. In your view, how effective is the government's approach to balancing revenue generation with economic growth in this budget?
Well, there's a big problem there, because if you take a look at the numbers, now maybe, you know, I'm not an economist, but you look at the growth is under 2%. And most likely, a lot of this growth is not taken into account the bumps. So the growth figures are always optimistic. And now when you look at the expenditure side, though, you know, you've got under 2% growth. But if you look at the budget and you look at the card, the growth in government spending is like between 4 and 5%. So it's definitely higher. So, you know, how can that be? How can you keep expanding government and growing government beyond the growth in GDP? And we've been doing this year after year, and then we're begging the commissioner and SARS to make up that difference by expanding the VAT tax base. And yes, we need to expand the VAT base on the wholly illegal. I would agree with that, and I think the Revenue Service has done an admirable job. But at some point, you can't keep increasing government beyond your growth. It's just not sustainable. And they're trying to do a little bit of magic tricks to carry it forward. So I find that very disturbing. And so this isn't to say that government should disappear completely, but government needs to, in the very least, reallocate to more efficient sources and get rid of the waste and get rid of the patronage. And you just don't see that commitment there. You just see a lot of noises and tomorrow, sort of like privatization from the president. It's the same thing. So given that, you know, I really, it's more of the same. I don't think we should be upset, because it's impossible for them to change, but at least we've slowed them down.
Yeah. So let's touch on this. What are your thoughts on the proposed changes to corporate taxes, like your VAT or income tax rates? Do you think these measures will positively impact businesses and individuals?
Well, I don't see how it would positively impact. It's better than the 2% VAT increase. But what they're doing is they're not increasing personal. They're not adjusting the rates for inflation. Hmm. So it's just the first thing that governments do when it comes to income tax is they don't adjust things, the brackets for inflation. You don't need a parliamentary increase for that. You don't need any sanction. You carry on before, and you let inflation do your work. And the point is, we're doing this increasingly, and this is one of the signs of a problem government, because inflation is the silent killer for the middle and for the lower income. It may not be as devastating as a VAT, but it's still bad. And you're seeing our rates are already, our marginal brackets kick in. We have basically a European-style personal income tax system without the benefits. So, and I think the ministry even alluded to that. So I don't know why people are not complaining about that, but it's, again, it's an easy one to win. Corporate rates, the bottom line is our corporate rates and our corporate share is higher than most of the world. So you can't increase it. You shouldn't decrease it. You need to leave it where it's at. And, you know, then it leaves the VAT. The only nice thing about the VAT is, yes, everybody shares the pain. But again, it's a question of, are you committed to this government that's going to continue to grow beyond GDP percentages? And that's the main problem. And they might slow it down, but that is what the ANC mantra is. They will not change that. And the Minister of Finance is powerless to adjust it.
So let's touch a bit on the SME side. How do you feel the budget supports the growth of small and medium enterprises, and which are critical for the South African economy?
Well, again, I mean, on the small and business enterprise, I don't think anybody's done anything for years on that. And that is not going to be – taxes might be able to adjust things a little bit. A VAT increase – well, that means you're going to slow down consumer spending a little bit, but it's only by 0.5, so it shouldn't be that much. So it certainly doesn't help them. They don't have anything that's going to help them. But be honest with you, tax and small business, really, it's not really about money. It's more about administration. And unfortunately, you know, we apply the same rules for the big guys, little guys, and the admin on the taxes are quite, you know, an issue. The other real issue is their regulation. We regulate too much, and so they can't set up and get going. So you find that government gets in the way of small business, and they have a small business department, but they have no authority to do anything. So all they're doing is just spending money looking good. But they don't do anything. You've got it, small business needs to be left alone. So you, because at the point that, you know, you can try to give them incentives, but they don't have the administrative wherewithal to take them up. So there is nothing here for the small business. There's no change in direction. And a lot of the stuff that's been given to the small business in prior years has been more politics than actual help. And what you really need to do is leave. You need to leave the private, the small business sector alone, and you need to deliver basic goods and services. And that's really where government has to stay. Electricity, water, all of those basic things, making it simple for small business helps them a lot. The big companies can work around it by doing other things, but the small guys can't.
Yeah, once again, that's where I agree with you, because I've always been a firm believer on government being the facilitator to allow business to take place, but we do need facilities like our electricity, running waters, you know, the usual, the basics of any business, for any business to succeed. And I think if that's something that we can work towards, I think small business will be fine irrespective.
That's right. And I think, look, I always say, do the basics and do them well. And that's really what your game is. Unfortunately, politicians around the world, you know, it's very hard. It's very slow. I mean, if you really want to get back, it's a problem with the municipalities, the provinces, you know, and it requires operational implementation. So, and we don't have that in South Africa for various reasons. We simply don't have effective operational implementation. So then we start looking for little wonder weapons in order to overcome it. So, you know, all of a sudden, you know, all right, we'll get a small business incentive, we'll create a department, we'll create this thing. And they really just need a suitable environment with as little administrative tape as possible. But that's the hard work. It's easy to announce special agendas and things. And so what you end up doing is you start losing money on all these little things just to make yourself look good that actually don't do anything. And I would say South Africa is not alone in that.
So we're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we're going to be discussing the social programs and welfare, as well as infrastructure and investment. But for now, let's take a break.
This is Casey 107.7.
Welcome back. We're once again speaking to Keith Engel, the CEO of the South African Institute of Taxation. Welcome once again. So I'm going to jump straight into social welfare and or the social welfare programs. In light of South Africa's high unemployment and poverty rates, how do you feel the budget addresses social welfare programs, and are the proposed tax policies aligned with these goals?
Yeah, well, if you take a look, this has been a long-standing issue here, that our government spends a lot on redistribution. So if you take a look at consolidated government expenditure, you'll see that, you know, when you're looking at economic development, which we'll get back to, you've got about $289 million, maybe $290 million. But if you look on the social services side, you'll see that out of the total government, social services are $1.52 trillion out of $2.59 trillion. So what you're really seeing is it's a little bit more than 50% is spent on redistribution and social services. Then when you break it down, the biggest item, a third of it, is on education. And then you've got health, community development, and social development. So you've got about a trillion rand a year going to social expenditure, which is not education related. And then another 500 billion going to education. Now, what we're not seeing here, and we'll have to check, is they're not really increasing it. It seems like they're carrying on, maybe with a little bit of inflation, maybe not, and they're just letting a number of these programs continue. And, well, I think there's something to be said for that in South Africa, because we have so many unemployed. The problem is if you're burning up on your budget there, you're not able to burn your budget on growth. And that makes it very difficult. And the only growth element of social expenditure is education. Now, this one has been flagged that you spend a lot of money here, but you're not getting your value for money. And like skills development and, you know, a lot of these things, you're putting money in and it's just going down. It's just going nowhere. And I don't know what it is, but we spend a huge amount of money on education. And if you look at public education, it's a disaster. So we're overcompensating on the social service side. The one that can get you the growth, we failed miserably. And so I don't think there's any change in direction. And tax really can't do anything. They've just got to raise the money to the extent that you want to allocate it that way.
Absolutely. So let's touch on infrastructure and investments. What role do you think the budget plays in boosting infrastructure development in South Africa? And are there enough incentives to attract foreign investment in this area?
Yeah, well, I think the issue, you know, just to take a step aside about foreign investment, I think we emphasize foreign investment way too much.
Absolutely, I agree.
Yes, we would like foreign investment. But again, a lot of times you look, you know, you want foreign investment, but then they own it and then they want their share. Now, I'm not saying it's a bad thing, and I think you grow, you get do better off. But one of the problems is African countries feel very colonialized. So whether it's the Chinese, the Americans, the Russians, do you really want a foreign investor to come in, put money in, and then you find you've got to pay them back plus something else? So really the main problem is our local people are not investing. Our local South Africans don't believe in us. And that's where the big problem is, because they go, well, if the standard advice is, well, gee, you can put up to 45% offshore. Please do it. And if we've got to get the faith of our own people first before we worry about the foreign investment side. So when you're looking at the budget here, it's, you know, out of the 2.5 to 9 trillion, only about maybe 12% is for an economic development. That's not a lot. You'll see that, you know, a lot of our increasing amount is going to debt servicing. But and the issue when you're talking about economic development and growth is, one, you know, it's simply roads, water, electricity, right? If your electricity is not working, you can't do your business. One of the problems in Africa is most of the infrastructure is gone. And one of the big advantages we had in South Africa is we had really good infrastructure next to them. And that's why, you know, South Africa stands out economically as being the best place in Africa because that's where it is. But bit by bit over time, our advantage there has steadily decreased. We've not maintained. So part of a good system of infrastructure is maintenance, and we haven't done it. And then it's, you know, people don't want to come to a place that's not been maintained, nor do they want to stay there. And that makes it very difficult. So one is, are we spending enough just on the boring basics in those things? The second element of it is you've got issues also around peace and security. Your police service, yes, you spend money on it, but it's useless. Now, again, that raises risk for foreigners and domestic. If I'm going to have to worry about being robbed, I'm not going to open the business. So these basic things are not necessarily business, but they affect business in a fundamental way. Roads everybody uses, but they're very important for transport. A lot of our problems are transport costs are high, and that jacks up the inflation. So that makes it very difficult. We've never really gotten a rail system. Now, the minister talked about rail. He seems to be doing something on mining, which is good. But again, we're not really able to put it there. And that's when you get to the private sector. And the question is, how much can the private sector do? Now, there are those who believe that the private sector is magic and can do everything. And I do think there's an important role for the private sector. But the private sector is not going to do the basic functions of government. You know, once you get the private sector on the roads, what do you have? They've got to get their money back, and then you have a toll road. And you saw how people felt about that in Gauteng. On the other hand, things like electricity and energy, there the private sector can make money, and it'd be better to start shifting it their way. But we don't have, we keep talking about privatization, but we don't, even on solar. So people start privatizing, and then Eskom says, oh, wait a minute, we're going to charge you for it. So, you know, this thing about privatization, everybody believes in it. They talk and talk and talk. We've been talking about years. And limited privatization can be good, but they simply just won't do it. They just won't get there. They'll just keep talking and then just burn it down with more regulation.
Yeah. So when we come back, we're going to be discussing the sustainability and green economy, as well as the long-term economy strategies, and then obviously our future outlook. So we're going to take a break. We'll see you shortly.
Your sound of the Winelands, Casey, 107.7.
And we are speaking to Keith Engel, CEO of South African Institute of Taxation. So Keith, I'm going to go straight into the hot topic, which is sustainability and green economy. How does the budget address sustainability and transition to a green economy? And are there tax incentives for businesses investing in renewable energy and sustainable practices?
Well, I think the only thing that it's directly addressing it that I've seen is you have the carbon tax. And so what you're going to see is more disincentives, but they seem to have delayed things a little bit so it doesn't go too far. And so there's an issue of how much that thing increases. At the moment, they've limited the increases, and basically it's the same policy as before. And then when it comes to the incentives, they have the energy efficiency incentive, which is very hard to access. There really isn't much in the way of incentives in terms of the green economy. And that's where we do talk about whether they open it up to the private sector for investment. So you see that's where the banks come into play, that, you know, are they having a number of green projects in the works? And there seems to be a limited private sector allowance in that space. And there's a place where you've got a little bit of growth. But this budget doesn't really address that at all. And in the world that we are today with Donald Trump, we see the world is really talking but not doing. So the days of Greta Thunberg and that we've destroyed the world with bad environment and, you know, and we're going to be raising the temperatures, it seems that everybody says the price of the environment is too high. That if we go fix the environment, we're going to have massive inflation and we're not going to have economic growth. And what good is having a green world if we're all in poverty? That seems to be the global message. The U.S. has again pulled out of our green projects. So, and I don't think they're coming back. So I don't see much in that direction. And really the problem is that if we really want to do anything, we can't continue to use coal with Eskom. Or diesel. So the inefficiency of that energy department really overshadows everything that we do in terms of a green economy. And really, businesses are being held hostage by a creaking ESCOM, which is a pollutant. And that doesn't ever change, even if we announce little bells and whistles. So, no, it's not a green economy, but I guess the world doesn't care right now, at least for the next 12 to 24 months.
So let's look once again at the long-term economic strategy. How do you see the budget fitting into the long-term economic strategy for South Africa? And are there any specific areas where you would like to see more focus or innovation?
What do you mean by innovation? Are we talking about an R&D, or are we talking about general efforts of growth?
General efforts and growth, because I think right now we're not necessarily looking at R&D, but we are looking at growth in this country.
Well, that's right. So here's where the fundamental problem goes on, and now you get a different set of talking heads. Like Rob Herzog, he's going off that, you know, he's not too happy because what he sees is a socialist agenda. Now, look, you can have a government that is more interfering and yet get a growth pattern in it. It doesn't necessarily mean that it's only the private sector should be dedicated to growth, but you don't have a growth mindset. And when you get to a growth mindset, the ANC is, we'll create a new department, like small business enterprises. So every time you want to get growth, it's create some other colossal administrative thing that doesn't go anywhere. The only place to get growth, and you could see the minister began with that, there is some money trying to put toward Transnet. That's really where he began. You know, if you can get your roads and your rail and your ports working better, you will get some growth. But we're doing it in such a muted way, it's really more maintaining what we have. So having a very expensive program on growth can work, but you're going to have to borrow more, and people are going to have to believe you're going to get your money's worth. Too often we spend money on stuff and it doesn't get you there. So one place where people have gone wrong, and again we have it the same, is passenger rail. Passenger rail does not get you growth, and it also costs you money. So Kenya's tried this. You need to have rail that is about cargo so that you can get goods in, get the trucks off the road. But they tend to go on the passenger rail side, which doesn't really help very much. So whatever investments they do for business is very muted. And the only place really to get growth is to deregulate. And, you know, the question is, what kind of deregulation do you want? Now, everybody runs to BEE. And BEE is, you know, if it's done poorly, it can be a problem. But I think there's an overemphasis on BEE. I think the real issue is the standard labor laws. It's very hard to fire. And if you can't fire, you don't want to hire. So the cost of hiring has gone up, not only because, you know, wages have gone up, but more importantly, you need to have agencies and support. And because you want to be so careful to hire, and that becomes a major burden on business, and especially mid-level management. If mid-level management's not working, you can't clean it out. So you've got various forms of regulation where everything you do requires a license, it requires a government approval, and that just slows business down. And government there has got to step back. They don't need to eliminate all regulation, but they need to ask to have a cost-benefit ratio. And you could justify anything, but at the end of the day, what do you really need and what can you really enforce? That would be the cheapest way to get some growth. The more expensive element, though, is ultimately when government spends on goods and services, it's got to spend on the slow stuff. And the difficulty we have there is, yes, let's say we want to build a new port and we have some great ideas. The question is, who's going to get the tender? And if the wrong people get the tender because they need to be friends of so-and-so, then what happens is the money is wasted. So the place where you want the biggest growth is where there's the biggest stealing. And if we can't get that under control, we better not spend money on growth because it's simply going to be lost.
So let's look at future outlook. What key factors do you think will influence the success of this budget? And how can businesses and taxpayers best prepare for what is to come?
Well, as I said, I think if I was there in the situation they were in, well, I guess if you were having an ideal government, you have very little fiscal room. So what you're going to have to do is reprioritize your spending. So you could argue we cut spending, and maybe what you do is you do cut. I think probably the thing they need to do is actually to cut spending so that we can start repaying the debt. Because, again, that interest rate is very, very high, and it's crowding out borrowing of the private sector. So you get rid of the places where you're really not getting something in there. And I think somebody has mentioned maybe there's a place in the Department of Education. Even though it sounds terrible, a lot of these education initiatives are really turning out to be a waste. But try to find the places where the label may sound good, but the thing doesn't work. Cut it, and then you start getting your deficit down. If you get your deficit down, you will help your government bonds and all these other things, because people will say, look, this country's on the right trajectory, and at least they're fiscally stable. And then that might give the private sector some assurance that the government is listening. And then two, deregulate. Then if you want to go further, what you've got to do is cut certain parts of the budget where it really is not growth enhancing and move it toward growth expenditures such as basic infrastructure. And that's it's a very narrow room to play, but it really, I think most people think that it's got to come from a government, you know, expenditure side. You might also take a look on the tax side and say, look, there's certain tax incentives and things that are inefficient. You might clean them off. Like I would look at the employment tax incentive. These things really are deadweight losses. And maybe there's a good way of getting rid of the hidden tax expenditure on those things. That will pick off some stuff. You may be able to make improvements on the operational systems and things with SARS, where you kind of simplify the tax systems for individuals. That would help everybody. It might raise taxes a little bit, but you can adjust it and just try to simplify the world in tax a bit. But it's about redeploying money rather than trying to raise tons of new money.
Absolutely. I actually agree with you on that. But this is all we have for today. And I just wanted to thank you so much, Keith, for your insight and your time. Thank you to all our listeners for tuning in. We hope you found today's discussion valuable. And we'll see you same time, same place. God bless.
Your sound of the Winelands, KC 107.7.